Good morning. Let's pray. Father in heaven, we thank you, Lord God, for our opportunity to come together and open your word together as a church, as a Sunday school class. And Father, we pray that you would help us, Lord God, as we look into your word, Father, to just get the most from it that we can this morning, Lord. Give us great help in the matters we look at. Father, just guide and direct. You be the God that we know you are, Father, and help us to be the people, Lord God, you expect us to be in this next hour. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. If you want to get ahead, you can turn to the book of Revelation. I'll give you the chapter here in a minute. Maybe you have seen this story before. This might begin to look familiar to you as we go through it. And I won't, I'll give you a shortened version. But here's a man that believes he's lived a pretty good life, and he has the creature comforts, he has the goods and whatnot, the toys to show for it. He thinks he's lived a good life, and I'll get the focus on the slideshow. He thinks he's lived a good life, and he ends up, he dies, and as we all do, because it is appointed unto man, wants to die. But after this, the word we've been looking at lately. And so, even at his funeral, some say he was a good man. And unfortunately, I've been to funerals where somebody that calls herself a preacher stands up and talks about how good, the departed was. And so they must be, in heaven because of how good they were. What a shame to deceive people, like that. And so even at his funeral, his friends, family, kinfolk, and somebody says he was a good man. Bible teaches, as it is written, there is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that doeth good. There is none that seeketh after God. And so even at his funeral, he was a good man. At some point, this is going to start looking familiar to some of you, I'm sure. And so he gets carried away by an angel, and the angel tells him that everything he's ever done in his life has been recorded. And so he begins to see a playback. Look, there he is as an infant playing. Everything he's done has been recorded, the angel informs him. And here's a scripture verse, for there is nothing hid which shall not be revealed, Mark 4:22. And so it plays through the scenes of his life as he watches this playback. And he sees things like when he was a teenager hanging out with the wrong crowd and swapping dirty jokes. He sees things like when he's looking on a woman with lust in his heart, which Jesus said is the same as committing adultery with her. He sees these scenes go through his life. He sees that he was a whisperer, a hater of God, a whoremonger, disobedient to parents. He was a false accuser. These are dates, by the way, if you can make them out. And the scripture here at the bottom says, for there is nothing covered that shall not be revealed and hid that shall not be known. That's Matthew 10:26. Nothing covered that shall not be revealed. And so all his life has been recorded, and he goes through all the scenes of his life and all the sins of his life, all been recorded. It plays back and he sees it, and he asks, why didn't someone warn me about all of this? And well, so the next scene he sees when he sat in a church very much like this, and someone did warn him. A preacher stood in the pulpit and preached the gospel and preached against sin, and he was busy worrying about who was winning the ball game. He was busy wondering if the fish were biting. And he couldn't care less. And so someone did warn him. He thought when he saw that, see, I was pretty good. I'm in church. Well, what was he doing in church? And so these scenes play out through his life. And then someone asks a question and says, open the book of life. And an angel says, his name does not appear, Lord. And so this man is, what happens to him? At this point, he's cast into the lake of fire. Is this familiar to anybody? Any of you read this? A chick tract. Anybody know the title? This was your life. This is probably the the gospel tract that's been printed more than any other. It first was published in 1963. It's now printed in over 100 languages. And probably the most widely distributed gospel tract of all time. And uncounted numbers have been saved as a result. The Chick Publications still gets letters on a weekly basis of people being saved after reading This Was Your Life. And I gave you an abbreviated version of it. They read This Was Your Life and gotten saved. And probably, who knows how many tens of thousands, maybe millions, I don't know. Nobody knows, but I remember reading these tracts starting when I first could read, even before I could read, and that was one of my favorites, and that's still one of their favorites. They publish hundreds of tracts, and that's their best moving item, is This Was Your Life. I'm just curious, how many of you have ever read that or heard of that? And you probably about half the room at least. What future event? That I just gave you, and I gave you less than half of the tract, but just enough to recognize it. What future event does that tract portray? The Great White Throne Judgment. Let's talk about that when we look at this word judgment today. I ask you to turn to Revelation. You'll find it in Revelation chapter number 20. Revelation chapter number 20. The Great White Throne Judgment. We're going to go down to the last several verses of the chapter, Revelation chapter number 20, starting at verse number 11. And let's read 11 through 15 of Revelation 20. And I saw, this is John writing, and he's the first part of chapter 20, he's described the millennium, the millennial kingdom, the thousand-year reign of Christ, ruling and reigning. And then he gets to the end of the millennium, so that's the timeline here of verse 11. And I saw a great white throne, and him that sat on it, from whose face the earth and the heaven fled away, and there was found no place for them. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God, and the books were opened, and another book was opened, which is the book of life. And the dead were judged out of those things which were written in the books according to their works. So according to this verse, what's written in the books? The works, their works. And they're judged based on what's written in the books. Verse 13, and the sea gave up the dead which were in it. And death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged, every man, according to their works. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast into the lake of fire. So this man in the tract, This Was Your Life, he saw all of his works, and then his name was not found in the book of life, and he was cast into the lake of fire. It's called the Great White Throne Judgment. So here are some questions. Let's talk about who is judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. Look at verse 12. It says, I saw the dead. That's a key word here. I saw the dead. It's the dead who are judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. Is the volume okay? It sounds a little low to me, but the dead who are, maybe I'll just yell louder. The dead are judged at the Great White Throne Judgment. Notice again in verse 12 it says, and I saw the dead, small and great. What about medium? It's all inclusive here. Small and great. There's no escape. Small and great stand before God. It says in verse 13 that they come from the sea. It says in verse 13, death, and that would be graves in earth or wherever, and even those that are in this place that verse 13 calls hell. In other words, the dead from anywhere, wherever they're at, they come to stand before God. The dead, all of the dead, whoever is dead. And verse 13 every man, the end of the verse, every man according to their works. And so every man who has a part in death. In other words, I'm just saying that this judgment is all-encompassing of the dead. Whoever has a part in death, whoever who is judged at the great white throne judgment, every single person that could be classified as dead at this point in the timeline, every single one who's dead, every man who has a part, every man, woman, every child, every man, woman, child who has a part in death is judged at the great white throne judgment. Now that begs the question then, is there anybody left out who is not judged at the great white throne judgment? I want to give you some scriptures. Most of these will be familiar to you. It was John who wrote the book of the Revelation, and so most of these will come from the writings of John. Turn to the Gospel of John. We'll start in chapter number 5. Who is not judged at the great white throne judgment, who does not have the books opened and all of their works read from the books at the great white throne judgment, it would be whoever's not dead, whoever was not subject to death. John 5, verse 24 says, verily, this is Jesus speaking, verily, verily, I say unto you, he's pointing out, I'm telling you the truth, you better pay attention to what I'm saying here, truly, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting, there's a key word, life, not death, life, and shall not come into condemnation, but look at this last phrase, but is passed from death unto life. According to John 5:24, who will not be judged at the great white throne judgment, those that have passed from death unto life, whoever hears Jesus' word and believes will not be judged because they're not dead. They're not subject to death. They've passed from death unto life. Turn to John chapter 6 and look at verse number 50. And this is Jesus. This is a long doctrinal teaching of Jesus about giving his body and his blood for the sins of man. And don't have time to go into all of the doctrine that's presented in chapter 6, but Jesus says in verse 50, this is the bread, and he's talking about his body, himself. I am the bread of life. This is the bread which cometh down from heaven, that a man may eat thereof and not die. Look at John chapter 8 and verse number 51. John chapter 8 and verse number 51. Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never see death. Remember, who's judged at the great white throne? The dead. Right. Who's not judged? Those who will never see death. Turn to John chapter 10. You know this verse. Verse number 28. Let's start in 27 for the context. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give unto them, unto who? His sheep. He gives unto his sheep eternal life, and they shall never perish, neither shall any man pluck them out of my hand. John chapter 11, standing outside the tomb of Lazarus, just getting ready to raise Lazarus from the dead, having a conversation with Lazarus' sister. Verse 25 and 26, Jesus said unto her, I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live, and whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. And then here's a diagnostic question. Believest thou this? Do you believe that? Turn to John chapter 20. And look at the last verse of the chapter. Why John wrote the Gospel of John. Let's look at 30 and 31. And many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. Elsewhere he says, if they wrote down everything Jesus did, all the libraries in the world couldn't contain it. He says, there are many things written which are not written. There are many things he did which are not written in this book, verse 31. But these are written that ye might believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, and that believing ye might have life through his name. According to John, who will not be judged at the great white throne judgment, who will not have the books opened at the great white throne judgment. The saved, those who trusted Christ as Savior, those who realize they're a sinner, those who realize their good works cannot make up for their bad works, those who realize that they cannot be good enough because there is none righteous, because all have sinned, Romans 3:23, and come short of the glory of God. We have fallen short. Those who realize the truth of that and have, instead of trusting in their works, instead of trusting in themselves, instead of trusting in their baptism, instead of trusting in their church membership, instead of trusting in keeping the sacraments, instead of trusting in trying to keep the law, they've instead transferred their trust from themselves or anything they could do to Jesus Christ and what he already did. Died on the cross in payment for our sins, was buried and rose again. They believe that and they have passed from death unto life. And so, I just want to show you a couple more here. Since we've got time, we'll stay in writings of John for one more verse. Turn to 1 John. 1 John chapter 5. Verses 11 and 12. And this is the record that God hath given unto us eternal life, and this life is in his Son. Now here's a verse on the exclusivity of Jesus Christ. Verse 12. He that hath the Son, capital S-O-N, the Son of God, Jesus Christ, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Well, there are many ways to heaven, somebody might say. Oh, he that hath the Son hath life. And he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. There's no other way. Right. Acts 4:12, neither is there salvation in any other. Right. There is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. John 14:6, Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Right. He that hath the Son hath life. He that hath not the Son of God hath life. We have life. If you've trusted in Jesus Christ as Savior, you have life. You're not subject to death. The books containing your sin. I like that old hymn. I need to look and see if it's in our new hymnal. The title of the hymn, My Sins Are Blotted Out, I Know. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be white as snow. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as wool. Well, maybe it's just John that says that. Paul says in Romans 8, verse 38, I'm persuaded, and he gives a long list of things that won't separate us from what? The love of God that's in Jesus Christ. And one of those things is death. We've passed. If we've trusted Christ as Savior, we've passed from death into life. We will not be the dead that are judged at the great white throne. So turn back to Revelation chapter 20. Let's talk about some points to consider here. Now we've looked at this judgment. Look again at verse 12 of Revelation 20. And I saw the dead, small and great, stand before God. And I want to point something out here. This makes for good preaching. I'm not going to preach this morning, but if you're dealing with somebody about salvation and you happen to touch on this subject, you turn to this passage. Excuse me. If you ever have occasion to teach or preach on this passage, here's something to point out. Look in verse 12. And the books were opened. Notice that's plural. And another book was opened, which is the book of life. Notice that's singular. Notice that there are books, and there is a book. And these are distinct from each other. Let's talk about that for just a little bit. There are the books, and there is a book. What is written in the plural books, according to what we read? The works of every man who's judged here, the dead. The works of the dead, written in the books. Written in the books. And what is written in the book? The names of those who trusted Christ as Savior. The names of those written in the Lamb's. It's called the Lamb's Book of Life elsewhere. So there's the books and there's the book. It's interesting to me. It takes a bunch of books to write down those on their way to the lake of fire. It only takes one book to write down those on their way to eternal life. Isn't that interesting? Because broad is the way and wide is the gate that leadeth to destruction, but narrow is the way and straight is the gate that leadeth unto life. So there's books and there's a book. And your name, my name, everybody's name is either in the books or in the book. Be interesting to do a study of different books. Our tears, believers' tears are written in a book in heaven. Other things are written in books. You just go through the scriptures. But here's books, and you and I, every single one of us, is either written in the books. Oh, that would be bad. Or written in the book. Oh, that would be fantastic. And how does one get blotted out of the books and written instead in the book through Jesus Christ as their Savior? So there are books and there is a book. Notice verse 13 again. And the sea gave up the dead which were in it, and death and hell delivered up the dead which were in them. And they were judged every man according to their works. Here's a question. How accurate and how complete will that record be? A perfect, accurate record, a fully complete record. Every lie you ever told, if you're found in the books, every lie you ever told, every dime you ever stole, every sin you ever committed of any kind, written in the books. Well, nobody else saw it. God saw it. It's written in the books. There's nothing hid that shall not be revealed. Yeah. Brother Adam.
It's an objective record, not imposed by respect of persons.
There you go. If you understand what he is saying there when he says objective record, means it's not an opinion. It's fact. It's not based on, he was rich, so we'll let him slide, or he was he thought it was the right thing to do at the time, so we'll let that slide. It's an objective record. It's not based on respect to persons. God is no respecter of persons. It's a complete and accurate and thorough record. I wonder how long that's going to take. How long this judgment's going to take. But it's the beginning of eternity. We got plenty of time. I read this week. I'll save that for later. Just thinking about eternity boggles the mind, though. So it's an accurate, it's a complete record. Why I'm so glad I'm not in those books, because that record. That record would be pretty terrible to read aloud. And notice verse 14. Here's a little bit of doctrine here. And death and hell were cast into the lake of fire. This is the second death. And the word hell there is Hades. So there's this Hades, this hell, and there's also the lake of fire. Let's discuss the similarities and differences. What is this hell, this Hades, that is cast into the lake? Because often we refer to the lake of fire as hell, the eternal abode of the damned, where all who are condemned will be placed. The lake of fire, and we call that hell, and Jesus even called it eternal hell fire, and so it's rightly called hell, but there's another place that's called hell. What is it? Anybody want to give it a shot? Hades, what is it? Okay. So there's a place called Hades. There's a place called Hades, the Greek word Hades. It's rightly called hell. There's another place called the lake of fire that's rightly called hell. Let me clue you in. The lake of fire right now has nobody in it. Hades hell is full of all the unsaved dead of all time. Hades hell, full of all the unsaved dead, will be cast into the lake of fire, the eternal hell. Hey, let's make a comparison. How many of you have ever been in jail? I'm proud of that. I've been in jail. Not jailed. I worked in the jail. I visited in jail. How many of you have ever been in prison? I've been in prison. I've visited in prison. What's the difference between jail and prison? Jail is more temporary. What happens if someone commits a crime or is suspected of committing a crime? They go to jail until they're judged, and then, based on their guilt, they go to a more permanent place called prison. Jail looks a lot like prison. I've been in a lot of jails, in ministry, in visitation, I've been in three different jails. I've been inside jails. And if you were to just wake up with no memory of what happened inside jail, you wouldn't know if you're in jail or in prison. It looks the same. Jail looks like, feels like, smells like prison. But jail is temporary. Prison is more permanent. It ought to be more permanent for a lot more crimes than it is. Hell, this Hades, is temporary. Those who have died without Jesus Christ are in Hades today. They will be judged, just like one in jail will be judged, and then they will be put in the lake of fire, the eternal hell. Is this making sense?
Yep.
All right, Mrs. Tickus, you had a question? Okay, the rich man that died and Lazarus died, the rich man went to hell, Lazarus went to Abraham's bosom, the other compartment of Hades, and rich man was able to look and talk to Lazarus. When Jesus died, before he died, he told the thief on the cross who trusted him as Savior, "Today shalt thou be with me in paradise." That was the Abraham's bosom side of Hades. I wish I had a graphic. That's a whole series of lessons in and of itself. But yes, paradise has been emptied out. The saved who trusted Christ prior to his resurrection, their souls are in heaven today. But hell is, the hell side is still there. Go ahead.
He led captivity captive.
Yes. Understand the differences between this temporary hell and the permanent hell. It's interesting to me, someone who's been in hell for 4,000 or 5,000 years actually gets a moment of reprieve. And I wonder what's going through their mind. Wow, I've been in fiery torment for 5,000 years, and now I'm brought before a great white throne. I'm no longer in fiery torment. Wonder what's going to happen here. Now he's cast into the lake of fire. And nobody in hell is going to get out. What did Abraham tell the rich man? There's a great gulf fixed between us, and those on that side can't cross over, and we can't cross over. Nobody in hell is gonna escape. They will all be cast into the lake of fire. Real quick, I just want to cover a couple other things. This is the most extensive teaching on the Great White Throne Judgment. There are some other New Testament passages that just maybe touch on how things are going to go down at the Great White Throne Judgment. I believe that in Romans it says every mouth may be stopped and all the world become guilty before God. There's nobody going to stand at the Great White Throne Judgment and argue with God, I didn't do that, or there were some extenuating circumstances, or I didn't mean to do that. Nobody's going to stand at the Great White Throne. No, they're going to stand guilty before God. Their mouth will be stopped, because the Bible says no flesh should glory in His presence. And the Bible says they are without excuse. They're not going to stand before God and offer up any excuse. And so I believe that that kind of helps us understand. I've seen there was a church in my hometown that puts on a play every year, and they have a depiction of the Great White Throne Judgment, and somebody standing at the Great White Throne Judgment actually in a church building at a church event cusses out God. Just blasphemous led, but no, every mouth will be stopped. But then I do want to turn to Philippians chapter 2. Verses 9 through 11. Wherefore God also hath highly exalted him, and I know I'm jumping into the middle of a context about Jesus Christ. The him in verse 9 is Jesus Christ, and given him a name which is above every name, that at the name of Jesus every knee should bow. And that should there is not the should like prospective, like they ought to bow. It's the future tense of shall. Every knee shall bow. Every knee should bow of things in heaven. All the knees in heaven will bow, and things in earth, all the knees in earth will bow, and things under the earth, all those who are in that place we just talked about, Hades, the temporary hell. Every single one of those knees are going to bow. In heaven, in earth, in hell, all those knees will bow. When will that be? I believe it will be at the Great White Throne Judgment, because they haven't bowed now. Verse 11, and that every tongue should confess that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. Isn't that interesting? Every single person who's ever lived will one day confess Jesus Christ is Lord. Somebody goes through their life rejecting Jesus Christ. I don't want anything to do with Jesus Christ. I'm not going to confess anything about Jesus Christ. Oh yeah, you are. There's coming a day your knee will bow and you will confess that Jesus Christ is Lord. And by the way, if that gets confessed in this life, your life will be a whole lot better. You know, it sure would solve a lot of problems if people would realize Jesus Christ is Lord and I'm not. There is a God, and it's not me. If Jesus Christ is Lord, I better do what He says. If Jesus Christ is Lord, I better stop trying to figure out how I think I ought to get to heaven and listen to what He says about how I ought to get to heaven. If Jesus Christ is Lord, I should order my marriage and order my life the way He says. If Jesus Christ is Lord, I should do what He says. Jesus Christ is Lord, and I'm not. Boy, what kind of problems that would solve if that confession were made today. But one day that confession will be made by all. It's interesting that every mouth will be stopped while they stand before God and stand guilty But then they will have to kneel, and every mouth that was stopped will have to confess, Jesus Christ is Lord. One time for maybe one or two questions or comments. The Great White Throne Judgment. I hope you're not written in the books. And I know I'm talking to a Sunday school class, but I hope you're not written in the books. All right, let's pray. Father, thank you for some insight into your word this morning, Lord God, and give us great help as we continue to look into your word, that you would give us, Lord, help in understanding and applying it to our lives in this day. And now, Father, we ask your blessing on our church services that will follow here. Guide and direct as only you can, that you would get all the honor and glory from what takes place. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.